Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to Lighthouse Bible Church today. Let's begin by praying. Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for all your gifts. We know that it's all based on the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, where he took away our sins and the guilt of our sins and the punishment for it. He took up all that upon his body on the cross. We thank you, Father, that you've given us your word and written format. It hasn't changed in 2,000 years. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who enables us to understand the things that are written in your word. And we thank you for one another. We thank you that you've made us members of one another. And you've gifted us, each and every one of us, with a special gift that we are to use in service of one another. Father, this morning we also want to pray for the needs of the saints. In particular, Father, we want to pray for the persecuted church. I also want to pray this morning especially, too, for Pastor Kingsley and for the people he ministers to. And we just ask today, Father, that we would be able to participate fully in everything that's prepared for us in this service today. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand and we'll have a congregation song at this time. There and a few of them, but all right, let's begin now. Want to just give you one announcement, actually, that Pastor Kingsley Emeniki is now in Nigeria. He'll be there until the 13th of June. He sent me a couple of updates, and I'd like to read one for you this morning. He writes, "My beloved family, again, thank you for being there for me and for the work of the Lord to which he is accomplishing in and through you." He gives a heads up. Things are going well. He said that he's trying to renew his Nigerian passport, which apparently expired in 2019. I don't know if he knew that or not, but when he got there, he certainly knew it. There's a lot of things. He's going through some of the things that he had to do to get that. Biometrics is one of them, so that's interesting. He got to visit his family, and now he is in Port Harcourt City. I love the way he talks about things. He puts them in a way that's very palatable. He says, because of the high level of insecurity in this country. That means, you know, it's violent over there. I am much indoors in a paid guest house while sharing the word of God with a few of my Christian converts as they help much in providing, listen to this, the tummy logistics. I think that just means they feed him. Steady electricity supply and internet services are a big challenge in this country. Tomorrow I will be attending a solid Bible-believing church to which the Lord planted through me in 2006. It's called Not of Works Bible Church. I'll keep you posted on my future activities. So I wrote back to him and said, you've been at this quite a while. You planted a church in 2006. I think that's almost 20 years ago. Well, he was there this morning. You know, they're ahead of us in the day. And it was just a wonderful thing. They were so excited to see him after several years. I guess he'd been there a couple of times before, but they hadn't seen him in about 6 years, so that was very exciting. And I love the title of the church, right? Not of Works Bible Church. That gets right to the point. You know, in Nigeria, as in many countries in Africa and Asia, the churches tend to be very works-oriented. Some of that is historical. The churches that went to these countries tended to be churches like the Methodists and the Pentecostals, who were very much on the work side of the spectrum. So he wanted to make sure everybody understood in the naming of that church what the gospel is all about, by grace through faith, not of works. All right, let's begin today. The title of today's message is the Manifestation of the Spirit. We're going to look at that word manifestation in the Greek today to see what that's all about. That comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, which we'll be in a minute, but I'd like you to begin in the Gospel of John again, chapter 17. I know we've been here. It's been the launching point for our study now on the unity of the body. But we're going to look at a new subject this morning related to the unity of the body. And so I want to start in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 20 to 23. It's a prayer, recall. Jesus is praying to his Father on behalf of himself, on behalf of the disciples that were with him that night, and then on behalf of the whole church, all who would believe on the basis of the testimony of the apostles. So now from verses 20 to 26, this is the section of Jesus' prayer that's about us. Verse 20, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, those are the disciples that were with him that night, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, a unity, an organic union, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that tight, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe, notice the purpose, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The witness of the body of Christ is a living presence, manifestation of Christ in this world. It's the same Christ that God the Father sent 2,000 years ago to die on the cross for our sins and be raised from the dead. We now, as members of the body of Christ, as believers, are on the resurrection side of the gospel. The church is born in the resurrection. Okay, why? Because there's a new life there, new possibilities, blessings that God the Father is free to give us in a righteous manner because Christ has dealt with our sins, the guilt associated, and the penalty. Verse 22, the glory, Father, which you have given me, I have given to them. That's quite a statement. The glory which you have given me, Father. Okay, Jesus was glorified in many ways when he was here. He was glorified by the miracles he performed. He was glorified by the message that he gave. He was most glorified was on the cross and in the resurrection. He's taken that glory, the Father now, and given it to us, to the body of Christ. Glory, as we've seen, is simply a manifestation of who God is in one fashion or another. We're never going to be on the cross dying for the sins of the world, but we are given opportunities to lay down our life living sacrifices, and that's in the pattern of what Christ accomplished at the moment he was most glorified. The glory which you have given me, Father, I have given to them, so that they may be one. There's glory in our unity. We can't do it alone. It's the body as a whole that glorifies God the Father and the Jesus Christ. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, Father, just as we are one. The same nature of the unity between the three members of the Trinity, who are three persons in an incredible unity, that's the model, that's the pattern for how God has set up the body of Christ. Many individuals, one body. Many gifts, as we're going to see this morning, one calling and purpose for those gifts. And he continues, I in them, Jesus is in every one of us now. You and me as that unity. He's saying the unity starts with the Trinity, in this case the Father and the Son, and then it's extended to the body of Christ, that they may be perfected in unity so that, again, the world may know that you sent me. We are to be a visible witness and a manifestation, actually, of Christ in this world so that the world may know that what? God the Father sent Christ, and also that the world may know that God loved them. And love them even as you have loved me. It's remarkable again to think, here's another connection between that relationship between God and Jesus and the relationship between God and Jesus and us. Think of it. The same love that God the Father loves, has loved, always will love his Son, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that very love now is extended to us because we are members of his body. We are literally, this is a spiritual reality, but we are literally members of the body of Christ. He's the head. He's the one head. As he goes, we go. As he is glorified, we are. As he is loved by the Father, we are. Okay? We're inseparable not only from God, Jesus, but also we're inseparable from one another. Okay? And I keep emphasizing this. It is not something we do alone. It is something we do as one living spiritual organism, the body of Christ. Well, this morning we're going to look at a remarkable way in which God the Father has gone about answering this prayer of his Son. the prayer stated several times, but the last time in verse 23 is the one I want us to focus on today. I in them, Christ in us, by the way, which is the very hope, promise, down payment of glory. I in them and you in me, Father, notice this, that they may be perfected in unity. Remember, we've seen that the unity that we have was established by the Spirit. We are called to preserve it. And in so doing, we perfect it. Okay, that's how we enter into the picture on a daily basis. And they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you've loved me. Now, how is the world going to know about the love of God loving us? You know how it is? By us loving each other. That's how it becomes visible. Okay? That's how it becomes perfected. And God the Father has done it in a remarkable way. He is, of course, answering. He will always answer the prayer of Jesus Christ. That's a given. But this morning, we're going to look at how he has done this and is continuing to do this with the church. We're going to pick things up where we left off last Sunday in just a minute, which is in 1 Corinthians 12. If you want to go there now, we're going to actually start in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, most recently, we've studied the one body of Christ. It's part of the unity. Remember, we saw in the book of Ephesians that there are essentials of our unity, all established by God. One of them is the one body of Christ. Okay. We've seen that it's made up of all believers in Christ. Ever since Christ ascended from heaven to heaven, then from there forward, everybody who's believed in Jesus Christ is a member of one single spiritual body, the body of Christ. Last week, we saw further that Paul used the analogy, right, of the human body to illustrate principles of the spiritual body. We saw that. We saw how the human body is made up of many members, but they're all one body, remember? Well, and it turns out that Paul gives the fullest treatment of that analogy. What analogy? The analogy of the human body to the spiritual body, the body of Christ. The fullest treatment of that is in 1 Corinthians 12. Let's start in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, right off the bat, we see the subject, and it's actually going to be the subject of chapters 12, 13, and 14. Now, 1 Corinthians has 16 chapters, and three of them are dedicated to this one subject of the spiritual gifts. In a church setting where there was crazy, remember, disunity and all kinds of disunity of factions and people with rivalries with one another. And remember, they're bringing each other to the civil courts, right? Just every way you can imagine. The opposite of unity, that's what was going on. So we can see perhaps why it is that the Holy Spirit would inspire Paul to have these three chapters on the manner in which God has given us a remarkable way to be and to preserve the unity that God's given us. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. Chapters 12 to 14, they're about one single subject. Spiritual gifts. The congregation, the church in Corinth, was abusing the spiritual gifts. What were they doing? They were using them as a way of bragging. My gift is better than your gift. By the way, human nature hasn't changed. That still goes on today. That goes on where pastors think they're better or higher up than other members of the body of Christ, or in some denominations they believe that those of you that get a second blessing, they call it, and then you're enabled to speak in tongues and you're sort of a better Christian than those that aren't. It's all nonsense, because the whole principle behind spiritual gifts is that we're all one, we're all united, we're all gifted. So again, though, this is one subject. Now remember, 1 Corinthians is all about the unity that they're blowing. 1 Corinthians, as we're going to see this morning, 12 is the fullest illustration of the unity of the body of Christ. And here we are also, he is now addressing spiritual gifts directly. That's no accident. See, there's an intimate connection between our spiritual gifts and our unity, the unity of the body of Christ. That in fact, the remarkable manner in which God the Father is answering the prayer of Jesus Christ is through the spiritual gifts, as we're going to see this morning. All right, go forward now to verse 4 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Now, there are varieties of gifts, many different gifts, different kind, even within one gift, there are different measures of it, different ways in which that gift is being graced out by God, and different ministries in which that gift is put to use, different effects, different results. There's lots of variety. Yet through it all, there's unity. And again, we're going to notice, remember, we've seen that the unity of the Trinity is the pattern, the basis, the source even, of the unity of the body of Christ. We see that here. Notice, verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts. We're going to, at the end today, if we get there today, we're going to see what some of that variety really looks like. And even in that, we're just scratching the surface. You know, every one of us, we'll see this, is given a manifestation of the Spirit. Now, there's variety in that. Some are teachers, some have the gift of mercy, some have the gift of giving. So there's a lot of variety. But in addition to that, God takes us, all right, and puts us where he desires in the body. And we have a totally unique ministry, each and every one of us, all right? Because we're all put there to use our gifts to serve others, to serve one another, all right? So we're all in a different place in the body of Christ. We're all designed to minister to specific people, and that's totally unique. Every one of us has a different ministry in that sense. You may share a spiritual gift with, let's say, a member of the church in Nigeria, but you have a different ministry for the simple reason that they're ministering to that body, that local congregation, and you're ministering to this one. The body has different needs in different places. There's different levels of spiritual growth, which is related to the effectiveness of spiritual gifts. There are varieties of gifts, but unity, the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, verse 5, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. I want you to notice that we have one verse on each member of the Trinity. Just like we saw in Ephesians 4, remember we saw that? There's one body, one Spirit, one hope of our calling, right? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Well, we see the same thing here, only now we're looking at it in terms of the spiritual gifts. Okay, the variety of gifts, the source is the Holy Spirit. The variety of ministries, where we are in the body of Christ and how we're called to serve one Lord, Jesus Christ. There are varieties of effects, the results, the production of our using our gift in that ministry we've been called to. But the same one God who works all things in all persons. He's all in all. And then verse 7, each one, you this morning, me this morning, every believer in Christ this morning has their own manifestation of the Spirit. Each one, to each one is given. Notice it's given. We're going to see that this morning. It's a gift. We sometimes forget about that. You know, we sort of focus on the supernatural nature of it, but sometimes we forget it's a gift. It's all by the means of God's grace. To each one is given freely, not because of anything about us. He doesn't look at us and say, you know what, you've really done well. You've got a college education. I think I'll make you a pastor. Not at all. In fact, the book of 1 Corinthians says, you know that there's a, you know, naturally speaking, some of you guys are impressive, some of you guys aren't. You know, there's not many wise. You know, I guess there's a few wise, okay? Not many. Not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things to shame the wise. So what I'm saying here is that sometimes those who to the world look the most foolish don't have their act together. don't really bring anything in terms of natural talents or abilities or connections or resources. They don't bring any of that. And yet God picks them, gives them some of the greatest gifts, ministries, results. All right? Don't think it has anything to do with you. It doesn't. God's sovereign decision across the board in terms of the gifts, in terms of the ministries, where we are, who we serve, and in terms of the effects. What kind of a result? We're in a very results-oriented culture in the United States. Very results-oriented. Everybody's measured in the world according to your results. You're measured on the job according to the results. You're measured as an athlete according to the number of points you score. Right? Everywhere you look around, people are measuring results in the world. And God's basically saying, don't bother with that. Forget it. Why? Because it's nothing to do with you. When it comes to the spiritual gifts in our ministry, the results are up to God. So that means that if you're called to serve a few people, let's just say you have the gift of mercy, and you're operating in a congregation or in any kind of setting where the body of Christ gathers, whether it could even be a family, you may be only ministering to a few people. Okay? But God's the one who decides that. All right? You may be somebody who's an evangelist, all right? And there's another evangelist across town, and it seems like he's more successful than you are. By the way, that might be a mirage. That might just be a way in which we look at things outwardly. You know, God looks at the heart. Okay, I think it was Moody. Moody was in a Sunday school class, and there was a Sunday school teacher. And most of the kids never paid any attention. But Moody was in that class. And this one said, you know what? I think if I have that one fruit, that's pretty amazing. Why? Because he went on to have tremendous fruit. We're all placed in different places in the body with different callings, jobs to do. And some members of the body are gonna be the place where God decides to have a lot of fruit, a lot of production, a lot of results, big impact. But never forget, we are all members of one another. So that even though that person seems to be where the Lord is working to produce the fruit, the results, the numbers, you're involved in that. All we have to do, all we have to be concerned with is operating in the gift God has given us, in the place God has placed us, and leave the results up to Him. But to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That's a tremendously important verse. You want to know why? It tells you the purpose of spiritual gifts. And it's a simple way for you to consider whether or not you're operating in your gift. You know, is what you're doing for the common good, or is what you're doing maybe for yourself, or, you know, to be noticed, or to make a difference, try to set you apart in your own mind. No, it's all for the common good. And again, each one of us, every one of us, you know, there's a misunderstanding in the church. Well, you hear this expression all the time. Well, we've got some gifted people in our congregation. Yeah, we sure do. It's everybody, every individual. All right, so we've got to put aside the way, not just the world, but even sort of the organized church, not the organism, but the organized, all right, where they look at things and they say, well, there's somebody who's gifted. Look at what a great speaker that person is, right? Look at what a great evangelist that one is. He's gifted. And again, in some denominations, as I already mentioned, they believe there's certain special manifestations, and they're all special. But they label some and say, if you're speaking in tongues, you're gifted, you know. And we're not going to really focus a lot on what the different kinds of gifts are in terms of categories. But let me just say this for today. There are some gifts in the Bible that were temporary. They were operating in the first century, for example. And they're not operating now. Okay? For we saw one already in Ephesians chapter 2. Remember, the foundation was the apostles and prophets. But remember, you only need to build the foundation once. They built the foundation. You know, they're the ones who brought the gospel first out and established the first churches. They're the ones who wrote the New Testament. Well, the Holy Spirit did, but using them. But my friends, the Holy Spirit is written. I mean, the Bible's written now. Right? The foundation is already laid. So those gifts that God used to lay the foundation, that's not in play anymore. Okay? There were sign gifts. Tongues is one of them. And God gave them so that people would recognize, wait a minute, there's something special and unique here that's never been on the scene before. Right? It's the body itself. It's the message of the gospel. It's the mysteries that have now been revealed. But today we all have the message of the gospel. The mysteries have been revealed. And what God has done to be the ultimate manifestation of his miraculous presence through Christ in the world is now in the body of Christ. So there's no need for sign gifts anymore. All right? What we are called to do is to look at the gifts that are functioning now and understand that we've received a manifestation along those lines. Some of us have been given speaking gifts. Some of us, the rest, have been given serving gifts. Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. And I love how grace comes first. Right? Why do I say that? Well, because the gifts of service are gifts of grace to one another. See that? And then the gifts of speaking, they're the gifts of truth. Okay, and that's how it's laid out. All of us have been given a manifestation, all right, along the lines either of speaking or serving. But of course, you have to say, wait a minute. You know, those who speak are serving, right? Hopefully, those who serve are often you can't. It's hard to give the gift of mercy and use it if you're not saying anything to anybody. And we're all called, by the way, to build each other up. So remember, there's no hard and fast lines. Don't be looking for a little box. Here's where I am. Because among other things, that will discount actually the unique way in which God has given you the manifestation. But not only that, you'll self-impose limitation. Well, I'm only going to do this. All right? I'm only going to do this for those people. Right? That's not at all the idea. It's the opposite of the idea. But we've all been given a manifestation of the Spirit. And better known as a spiritual gift. As we've seen, there are a variety of gifts. Variety. But one Spirit distributes all of them. There are varieties of ministries. Now let me give you a definition of a ministry now. And you're going to see you're going to be able to say, oh, I get it. That's me. I can have that. Notice, a ministry is a setting for believers to use their spiritual gift. That's a most important word. Use it. As we're going to see, the supernatural nature of our gift is present when we use it. All right. You can say, for example, that you're a writer, but if you never write anything, then there's no... Are you really a writer? You know, you can say you have the gift of helps, but if you're not helping anybody, if you're not standing beside somebody to support them in the use of their gift, are you really using that gift? Of course not. All right. So to use, see, we're placed in a setting to use our spiritual gift to the benefit of particular members of the body, where things are actually going on, where there's actual relationships forming on the basis of all of us exercising our gifts. Because we need every one of them. Every one of them. That's, without that, the body can't function effectively. Okay? Cannot. All right. A ministry is a setting, therefore, maybe you could say a place, where believers are to use their spiritual gift to benefit particular members of the body. I want you to notice that this is not limited. You hear the word ministry. Are you going into the ministry? Right? What does that mean? Hey, are you going to be a pastor and have a church? Well, that's one ministry. But that's not the only one. Right? Everybody has a ministry. The issue is whether or not you're active in it, whether or not you're actually using your gift, whether or not you're actually serving members of the body of Christ. And no two ministries are exactly the same. There's the variety, and yet there's one Lord. There's the same Lord, Jesus Christ, who gives each and every one of us that opportunity to serve. Varieties of ministries, but the one Lord, Jesus Christ. After all, he's the head of the body. What does the head do? Directs everything? So he is the one who has given us a ministry. Every one of the apostles was called by the Lord Jesus Christ. He called them, as it were, to their ministry. Well, he's done the same for you. He has called you, reserved for you, given a specific opportunity for you to use your gift for the benefit of others in the body. Jesus Christ directs all of that. One Lord directing all the varieties of ministries. And of course, he has one mind. It's the mind of Christ is really should be the guiding principle, the guidance itself for how we use our spiritual gifts in our ministry. And there's one purpose. It goes right back to where we started this morning with Jesus' prayer. The purpose of our exercising our gift in our ministry is that we may be perfected in unity. If you're not thinking in terms of unity of the body, then you're not seeing your gift correctly. That's the only reason it's given. And it's given for the body. You know, you may be helpful to people out in the world, but that's not what your gift is for. The supernatural nature of your gift is meant to be exercised, is how it's exercised in the body of Christ, to build up the body. Because think about it, we are the fullness of Christ in this world. So you have the fullness of Christ in the church, the body, and then you have the world looking on the outside, right? And saying, hey, when they look at how we're united, how we love one another, then they can see that there's something here, and that something, if they listen, right, is Christ, and Christ is God and given by God, and he's died for everybody and been raised from the dead, and the church is a visible manifestation when it's operating correctly of that, of Christ and his victory on the cross and in his resurrection. All right. Same Lord gives each believer that opportunity they have to serve. He directs all the very many varieties of our ministries. One mind, one purpose, perfected in unity. That's the one mind. Whoops. All right. And third, in verse 6, what? There are varieties of effects. Effects. What are effects? Well, we can think of these as the results, the production of our ministries. Let me say again, yes, there are results in every one of our ministries. There are effects. We have an effect on people. Well, let me restate that. God the Holy Spirit has an effect on people through us. It's really a more correct way of thinking about these gifts. We still have to use them, of course. When they're in use, they'll have an effect. They can't help but have an effect because they're supernatural. You may not see the look. If you have the gift of encouragement, for example, okay, and what that means is that you're given an unusual ability to encourage members of the body of Christ. All right, it's a miraculous thing. It's a supernatural thing. Okay, but you may or may not know for a fact that you've encouraged people. I mean, some of the people, obviously, that most need encouragement are the most discouraged. And you may not see the results that are going on. Not for a while, maybe not ever. Because, they're internal, right? And secondly, you don't know that encouragement may be parked in their hearts for weeks and months and years, and then finally they access it. That's not up to us. The results are not up to us. The production that we're looking for is not up to us. All we by faith, we know that it's there. And that's it, right? We walk by faith. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now, I live one way, by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So it's a matter of faith that God will produce results. God the Father decided those. He did so, by the way, in eternity past. We were called in eternity past. God decided what spiritual gift you're going to have in eternity past. And so he's also decided where you're going to use it and what the results will be. And then I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. The results, the production of using our spiritual gift in a ministry where we benefit other members of the body fall into the category of Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship. We are his product. We have been crafted by God for a particular purpose to serve particular people. We're created new. You are a new creation. Where? In Christ Jesus. If anyone is in Christ, new creation, new creature. Created in Christ Jesus. Created. All that is the real you now was created. And not at birth, but at the moment you believed. Created in Christ Jesus. From the moment you believed in Christ, you're in Christ Jesus forever. It's the baptism, right? The baptism by the Holy Spirit. He did it. He placed you into Christ. And now you're permanently identified with Christ. That ought to give you a lot of comfort and encouragement in and of itself, because you're never getting out of the body. You're never getting out of the body of Christ. And what that means is that you're going to be resurrected. You are going up in the rapture if you're a believer in Christ. End of story. You're in Christ and you're not getting out. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. That means you're in Christ and the Holy Spirit himself is the seal, the down payment of everything, the promise. You're going to heaven if you're a believer in Christ. You're going to have a new resurrection body if you're a believer in Christ. You're going to do it with every other believer in Christ from the ascension forward. You're always going to be in the body of Christ forever. Wherever he goes, we'll be going as his body. Notice this. He prepared us, though. He created us in Christ Jesus for a purpose. Notice the purpose. For good works. Now, I want you to know this, by the way. Don't get the wrong idea now, because look, Ephesians 2, 8 to 9 is by grace you've been saved through faith, not of works. What does that mean? It means you get started with nothing to do with your works. But once you've been placed in the body and gifted, now you are designed for good works. And as we're seeing this morning, that's really what the world can observe. Okay, they can observe our good works. You know, and actually the purpose of what we're doing today is good works. Paul said the end of our instruction is love, right? We are to be careful to do good works. We are designed to express our love for one another and laying down our lives. God prepared that all beforehand. You know, I don't know, sometimes, I don't know if you've had this experience, and it doesn't matter, the experience part doesn't matter. But you may have had situations in life where you say to yourself, once you're a believer in Christ, and you say to yourself, you know, I now finally get why something happened to me maybe 5, 10, 15 years ago. All right? So there's that sense that this was all kind of meant to be, not in the way the world says, you know, but the way that God has done it. You know, he foreknew you and I in eternity past. He's always known. Now, you weren't even created until, obviously, you know, eternity doesn't have even a dimension of time. It's like outside of time. But he's always known about you. That's foreknowledge. He's always known that you would be in the body of Christ. He's known all of that, but he's also prepared all the works that he wants you to live in. And we walk by means of the Spirit. Whatever it is that's going on, God prepared it ahead of time. All we got to do is walk. All we got to do is walk. All we got to do is simply live according to what the Word of God has to say, trusting that God has got everything worked out, that all things are working together for good. Believe me, though, all things are not good. Because some people said it's all good. I got to tell you, it's not all good. I'm sorry, it's not. Disease is not good. War is not good. Family members who hate us or whatever, that's not good. Right? All is not good. Okay? But for the believer in Christ, member of the body of Christ, it's all working together for good. This is what I mean. You may have gone through something 5 or 6 years ago and it was terrible and painful and horrible. And at the time, you just didn't know what was going on. You couldn't understand it. But then, over the weeks and the months and the years, God is using that, working things out. That affliction turns into character, turns into hope, turns into the love we have for one another. There's nothing like that experience of understanding a pain in the past, now converted to love now. And God does all of that. He works it all out. God prepared it beforehand so that we would simply walk. In other words, though, the results aren't up to us. How many of us have spent a long time obsessing over why don't I have the results that another believer has? Comparing ourselves. I hear it, you know, listen, let me just lay it on the line. There's a lot of people that say, you know what, your church can't be where it's at because look at how few people you got. You know, look at that mega church over there. They have thousands every Sunday, right? Well, first of all, the results aren't up to us anyway. Now, that's not to say we shouldn't operate it if you have the gift of evangelism, right? Or whatever, the gift of encouragement, the gift of whatever it is. Yeah, you're to use it. And people who have the gift of evangelism, a special supernatural gift of preaching to unbelievers and having them pay attention, you're to use that gift. Don't get me wrong. But the results are up to God. If you do that, and then that person decides, they believe in Christ, and then they decide, well, they move. They move to up north. You're never going to see the fruit of that. But it's real. The results are not up to us. I could say a lot more, by the way, and I have on other occasions, about how small churches are often where it's at. Because we don't have all the distractions. We don't have a huge million-dollar budget that we got to meet every year. And so we do all kind of things. If that's a church that has to do that, the church that has to be visible and showy, wants to get where it's happening, they've got to do a lot of things that have nothing to do with the calling of the church. Not a thing. You know, if you go into a church building and you're impressed by them, look, they've got a coffee shop in here. It's a big one. They're selling coffee from 5 different countries there. Look at that. You know, that's impressive. Man, I when I walked in, I saw all of the things in there and what they have built for children. They can run around in them and have a great time. That's where I want to be. It's more like McDonald's, yeah. Yeah. Impressive. Expensive. Nothing to do with the calling of the church. Our calling is simple. We are to be the pillar of the truth. That we are here to listen to the truth, have it change us, and exercise our gift according to the truth with one another. Right? And that's all about the preaching of the Word of God. Preach the Word in season, out of season, with great patience and instruction. Because there'll be plenty who just want to have their ears tickled. There are more than ever. But that's all they really want. Every time they step into a church building, they're always asking the question, what can I get this morning? I want to get an experience. I want to get an emotional high. Right? But none of that, that's, by the way, that in our subject right now, that's really the opposite of why you're here. You're not here for yourself. You're here for others. Now, when it comes to spiritual gifts, therefore, as we've seen, all three members of the Trinity work as a team from start to finish. They do it. And by the way, that's what matters ultimately. It matters what God is doing. You know, without Christ, we can do nothing. The Spirit, one member of the Trinity, distributes each and every one of these divine gifts. They're divine in nature. They're supernatural. That's the Spirit. The Lord Jesus comes on the scene and establishes those opportunities to serve others with our gifts. It's our ministry. That's what we're called to. That's the Spirit. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Father produces supernatural results. In other words, all three members of the Trinity are operating. That's a wonderful place to be participating in, right? They've set it all up. All we got to do is walk in what he's given us to do. Each of them provides the miraculous power and ability to operate in our gifts. Let me say that again. They provide miraculous power and ability to operate in our gifts. Now, there are some who would say, look at the power of God. Look at the miracle. They're looking for a miracle worker, some people. You know, they think that the idea of somebody who's miraculous is doing something that's, you know, healing somebody supernaturally, perhaps, maybe not, who knows what's going on. But I'm here to tell you that each and every gift is miraculous. Each and every gift has supernatural power behind it. And it's all given so that we have abilities to operate and serve. So the spiritual gifts are divine in origin. They come from God, the Holy Spirit. They're miraculous in their manifestation. By the way, that miracle shows up when we use it, by the way, in the ministry that God has called us to, Jesus has called us to. And they're supernatural in their operation. God the Father operates to have the results that he wants. All right, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12:7. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Notice in verse 7, the spiritual gift is called a manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation. Each one of us has received a unique manifestation of the Spirit. Let me explain. It's supernatural. Well, today we're just going to look at a Greek word for what is the word for manifestation in the Greek text? And it's phanerseris. Phanerseris. What does it mean? That's what's important. Okay? It means this. Notice this. It means a visual display. Now, it's a visual display of who? Each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Yeah. It's a visual display of the Spirit at work. It's what Jesus basically said to Nicodemus when he says, you know, you can hear the sound of the wind, but you don't know where it came from, and you don't know where it's going. Such are those who are born of the Spirit. So they can hear the sound. They can see it. They don't understand. The world doesn't understand necessarily why this is going on, but they see it. It's a visual. We know what it's a visual manifestation, a display of. It's the power of the Spirit. It's an exhibition. It's on exhibit. Hey, guys. This is how the Spirit is working right now. It's an appearance. When you exercise your gift, the Holy Spirit makes an appearance. Now, don't get me wrong. He's indwelling every one of us. Not that. But notice the word appearance. Right? We don't see the indwelling. But, you know, I can see when you operate in your gift. You can see when others operate in their gift, can't you? I mean, can you hear what preaching sounds like? Yeah. Do you think that members of the body of Christ who are the beneficiaries of the spiritual gift of giving, do you think that's tangible? Of course it is. It's an exhibition, it's an appearance, but of the power of God not our own. When believers, therefore, operate in our spiritual gift, whatever it might be, to serve the body of Christ according to how God has worked things out, the Holy Spirit makes an appearance. Now, that's exciting. And it's every gift. If you have the gift of leadership and you're exercising it for the benefit of the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit's making an appearance, is exhibiting who he is, displaying it. Every one of us has a gift, and therefore this can happen to any one of us as long, when we exercise our gift. Our spiritual gift, you know what it really is? It's a channel that the Spirit uses. That's what it is. It's a channel that the Spirit uses to minister the body. In other words, when we exercise our gift, we have the faith, the actual confidence that the Spirit is at work. So we're not, you know, a lot of times, like, for example, I can best relate to my own gift. A lot of times when I'm preaching, I don't know the effect that I'm having. You know, I try to check every once in a while. But the thing about it is, I've learned over time to have confidence that I'm just a channel. You know? The Spirit is living waters. And I'm just this little tributary that he's pouring in whatever it is that he wants to do for you this morning. That's it. And it's the same thing for you. If you have the supernatural gift of giving, okay, it just means that you have an uncommon ability to give sacrificially for the members of the body of Christ. And that ability, that motivation, doesn't come from you. Okay? You could be a billionaire, but if you're not gifted that way, okay, you're not going to operate in that manner in the body of Christ. Why? Because it's supernatural. It's the Spirit. It's the work of God. The Spirit uses our gift as a channel to minister to the body of Christ. And therefore, each spiritual gift is given to the church, not the individual. I wasn't given the gift of preaching, all right, just for me to be excited about it and enjoy studying in my office. It's given to you. It's given to the body of Christ, not to me. But after all, we're all members of one another, aren't we? We're all members of one another. So it doesn't really matter, really, who it is that's gifted. It doesn't matter at all. Because we're all gifted in the sense of, and I'm talking about an individual gift. We all benefit from it. Matter of fact, we all need it. Each of us gets a gift that everybody else needs. This is why when you're not exercising your gift, then there's something deprived in the body of Christ. Because we need it. Look, we need preaching, absolutely. But we also need service. We need people who say, you know what, there's a need in this congregation, and I don't see anybody filling it, and I have been gifted by the Spirit to do that. And everybody needs that. You know, if we were to come in here and not have any donuts some Sunday, whew, I started this morning when it was just, maybe had to wait 5 minutes. Okay? Well, you know, we need it, some more than others. We need the place to be clean. We need other things, too, that maybe aren't getting done. But we need it. We need the gift. We need every gift. We need the gift of helps. You know, nobody can exercise their gift. If you have a speaking gift, you can't do it on your own. You need help. You need people who are gifted with that, who pay attention to things nobody else pays attention to. Not because they're smarter, but because they've been gifted that way. And not only that, I need your gift and you need mine. And that's just that simple. All for one and one for all. And think about it. Doesn't the human body work the same way? I mean, isn't it true that each member of our body has something absolutely vital to contribute to the overall health of the body? Everything. I don't care if you're a blood vessel. If that blood ain't flowing, that body ain't healthy. You could be an eye. You could be something that's less presentable, but necessary. I don't know about you, But if I'm having bowel difficulties, it ruins my day. My wife just said, come on, don't talk about that. Poor men, you know, preachers' families, they're just abused. No, not really. They have gifts too. Yeah, so the body operates that way. Everything, every member of our body, things we can't see, we've never seen, right? I mean, our heart beats, I don't know how many times, a minute, you know? And it's interesting because we don't do that, you know? It's body is just a great place to learn about the spiritual body. Because literally, God's in charge of whether my heart keeps beating. I'm not, right? And by the way, all the other members of the human body depend on other members of the body. You know, the brain can't operate without fresh blood supply. The muscles can't operate without food. They all depend on the other members to function properly. As we close today, I'd just like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. You know, there's four sections within books in the epistles. There's like four of them, four books that you can go to find information on the spiritual gifts. By the way, in every place, you also have teachings on the unity. Okay, that's not a coincidence, right? And let me just tell you what they are this morning, because we're going to spend time in them. We've already have spent time in them. Basically, it's the four books, okay, that have information about the gifts are the book of Romans in chapter 12, book of 1 Corinthians in three chapters, 12, 13, and 14, the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, and the book of 1 Peter, right where we are now. Okay, so if you want this week, read them. I mean, that's where what we're gonna do now is focus front and center on the spiritual gifts, and we're gonna depend on Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 especially, but also 13 and 14, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. All right, 1 Peter 4 is a good place really to start looking at the specific gifts because it does it most simply. And I love simplicity. The older I get and the worse my memory gets, the more I love simplicity. Just give me two or three things to remember and I can handle it. 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11. Verse 10, as each one, there it is again. By the way, if you read carefully these four sections, you'll see that the phrase each one, individual, okay, emphasized. Each one has received a special gift. You, if you're a believer in Christ, have received a special gift. The gift of mercy is a special gift. Special because God the Holy Spirit gave it to you. Special because Jesus Christ has reserved a place for you to use it. As each one has received a special gift, employ it. Notice this, employ it, use it. That's the other thing that's emphasized again and again. Okay? The gift is meant to be used. Not to sit on a shelf, okay? Each one has received a special gift. Employ it. Use it. Put it into action. Put it into service. In serving one another. There it is, very simply, right? We saw in 1 Corinthians 12, 7, they're given for the common good. You see the same thing. Peter says the same thing. Employ it. Use it. In serving one another. And notice the last thing he adds. This is where we're going to leave things off this morning. I just wanted you to see the word. As good stewards of what? The many-faceted. The reason why there's variety in our gifts and in our ministries is because of this. The many-faceted grace of God. It's the grace of God is overflowing. The grace of God we stand in it every day. The grace of God is operating in ways that are unbelievable. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. We've been graced out in an unbelievable way. And if we use our spiritual eyes with faith to hear what the Word of God has to say about those blessings and then turn to our lives with that frame of mind, we'll see it. Grace. We are to be noticed good stewards, and never more so. What is a steward? Somebody who's responsible for something and uses it appropriately to the best outcome. We're all stewards of this grace, many-faceted grace of God. And I'll just leave you with this simple definition of grace. Grace is unmerited blessing from God. That's what it is. Unmerited blessing. God now, you know, on the basis of the cross, he can now act righteously, right, to do what he wants to do in love. His nature is love, right? Grace means that God acts freely in his love for us. He's got no promises or obligations. He does it freely. You don't constrain God in any way. He doesn't owe you anything. It's freely done. He freely gives it. And that's what grace is. Nothing about us. It's uncaused by anything in the recipient of this gift. It lies wholly and completely in the giver, who is God himself. Grace is unmerited blessing from God. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father, this morning we thank you for opening our eyes to the truth in your word about the fact that each one of us has been gifted with a supernatural gift by the Holy Spirit. And furthermore, that we all call to a ministry of service in one manner or another, and that we are to relax knowing that you've got the results in hand. So, Father, as we leave today and we go about our lives this week, help us to keep that in mind. The same Spirit who's given it to us, help him to mentor us, encourage us, understand what we've learned today, and be ready to see it develop next week when we gather together in a week. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. We gather together on Thursday evening to study the amazing things about what Christ accomplished on the cross. Believe me, you'll be blessed. You'll be graced out by what this study is all about. Things perhaps that you've never thought of before that Christ accomplished on our behalf on the cross. All right. Father, again, we thank you for everything that's going on today. We ask as we leave today, Father, that we would keep in mind the fact that you love us in the same way that you love Jesus Christ, and then you turn around and say, love one another with that same love. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're dismissed into the sauna of South Florida. Can't argue with that, right? No.
In my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea.